Today's reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 31. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Hear the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Michael Steamson. Many people call me Steamer. I'm the associate pastor here at Trinity Church Golden Grove. And I'd like to begin today's Bible talk with a question. And the question is, how comfortable are you with change? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being sad face, don't like it at all, to 10 being happy face, it's water off a duck's back, how comfortable are you with change? Take 30 seconds, think of your answer, and then why not share it with the person next to you? All right, how did we go? Anyone here on the lower end of the scale, perhaps a 1 or a 2 or a 3? Yeah, I saw your face screw up when I asked a question, yeah. All right, these are our steady Eddies, you know, not too fond of change. How about the other end of the scale? Anyone an 8 or a 9 or a 10? Yeah, 1. Go with the flow, Joe, up the back there. I did hear up the front here that perhaps it depends on the context. Perhaps it's hard to place yourself on the scale because how you feel about change could be relevant to what is going on. You know, change to your work situation, that could be good or bad, kind of depending on what it is. A change to your health. You could get good news or bad news from your doctor, depending on what they have to say. But confronting reality is, however we feel about change, we all have to accept that it is a constant part of our lives. The ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus, he certainly got it right when he said, the only constant in life is change. We're in the final week of a 3-week series titled Follow Me, which we're engaging with 3 stories involving Simon Peter. We've seen that as Simon Peter follows Jesus, there's been plenty of highs and lows along the journey. From him being a sinful man who tells Jesus to go away, to him leaving everything to follow Jesus and be a fisher of people, to then denying Jesus 3 times, to him being forgiven and restored as a shepherd of the church. In today's Bible passage, we finish on a high. As we look back on the journey of the past 3 weeks, we can see how much Peter has changed. He's not the only one who experiences change in Acts chapter 4. First, there's the lame man who is changed by the powerful name of Jesus. Then we'll explore how Peter is changed by the Holy Spirit. And then there is the early church who are changed by prayer. All 3 are changed for the better, and all 3 praise God and serve him more faithfully as a result of their change. So let's look at each one of these in turn, beginning with the lame man who is changed by the powerful name of Jesus. We began today's reading in Acts 4. That's actually halfway through a story that begins in Acts 3. At this point, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and then he's equipped the early church to be his witnesses throughout the world by pouring out his Holy Spirit on them at Pentecost. And then one day, sometime after Pentecost, Peter and John are going into the temple to pray. And as they approach the gates, they come across a man who has been lame his entire life. This disability, this injury, means that this man can't walk, so he has to be carried everywhere. It means that he can't work, so he has to beg. He's in a desperate situation. He has no power to change it, and it's been like this for over 40 years. So when this man sees Peter and John heading into the temple, he did what he usually did. He asked them for money. But never in his wildest dreams would he have imagined what came next. Acts 3 verse 6, Peter says to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter then takes the man by the hand, helps him to his feet. And immediately, this man who has never taken a step in his entire life begins walking. In a moment, his life has drastically changed in a way that he never could have expected. And as unexpected as it was, he's off the scale with how he's feeling about it. He's overjoyed. And so he doesn't just walk. He starts leaping. He starts excitedly bouncing around the temple courts, praising God for what he has done. And as he's doing this, understandably, he's attracting a bit of attention. He's not exactly, you know, fitting in with the crowd. And people begin to recognize him as, hey, that's the same man who used to sit and beg at the gates day in and day out. And they're filled with awe and wonder how this radical transformation has occurred. And so Peter uses this opportunity to proclaim the gospel. He explains to the crowd that Jesus is the Messiah who suffered at the hands of sinful humanity, but then was raised from the dead by God. He announces that it's through faith in Jesus' powerful name that this lame man has been healed. And so he urges all who are present to repent, to turn to God, so they may have their sins forgiven, and so that they may begin a new, fresh life with him. And it's so often the case when the gospel is preached, there were two responses to Peter's message. On the one hand, many in the crowd are gripped by what they have seen and heard, and so they turn to God in repentance and belief. And the early church grew in size to about 5,000 believers. On the other hand are the Sadducees. They were a wealthy and powerful religious sect, and the temple was their power base. Add to this, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so Peter, teaching about Jesus' resurrection on their turf, was a crime they could not tolerate. And they respond by detaining Peter and John and keeping them overnight. And then the next day, they bring them out for questioning, for a trial before the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law. And they interrogate them with this question: by what power or what name did you do this? We're reading now from chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame, are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." It was the power of Jesus' name that healed the lame man. And it's the power of Jesus' name that brings salvation to any person. It's where any person can find salvation. It's only by Jesus that we can be changed from being dead in our sin to being forgiven and alive with God forever. It's only through Jesus that we can go from being enemies of God being adopted as his dearly beloved children who have a glorious inheritance awaiting them. There's no other solution to our greatest problem. No one else to save us. No other name with power. Only Jesus. So I wonder, do you identify with the lame man's condition? Stuck in a desperate situation which you are powerless to change. Do you need to embrace the change, the powerful change that only Jesus can bring? Perhaps you've known Jesus as your Lord and Savior for a long time. Why not take a moment now to reflect on the change that he has brought into your life? What he has saved you from, what he has saved you to. Like the lame man, I trust that reflecting on those things will make you feel 11 out of 10. It will make you leap for joy and praise God. He has brought powerful change into our lives. For Jesus' name is powerful to heal. Jesus' name is powerful to save. And Jesus' offer to all is, come, follow me, and I'll give you a new life. As we saw last week, Jesus also is gracious, and he forgives and he restores when we fail. So we'll see in our next point, Jesus gives us everything that we need to overcome our failures and live courageously for him. Point two is how Peter was changed by the Holy Spirit. Last week, we spent some time recounting how Peter was initially so full of confidence and commitment to Jesus. He was the one-upper who brashly claimed that he was more devoted to Jesus than any of the other disciples. Even if they all failed, he would rather die than deny Jesus. Yet it only took the slightest bit of pressure, and the rock man, that's the meaning of Peter's name, he was crushed to pieces by the pressure. The disciple who said he was ready to die for Jesus denies knowing him three times. And in Acts chapter 4, we actually have a similar pressure test type scenario. The religious leaders, they're the same authorities who orchestrated the arrest and the trial of Jesus only months earlier. They've now similarly arrested Peter and John. And so surely memories of Jesus' trial and his death and his own threefold denial would have come racing back to Peter's mind that night. Yet this time, the pressure doesn't crush the rock man. Instead, he shines like a diamond. How? Let's read the beginning of verse 8 again. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit empowers Peter to do something that earlier he could not do by his own strength. In contrast to his threefold denial, here the Holy Spirit enables Peter to declare that he belongs to Jesus and that those hearing him need to belong to him too. Holy Spirit changes Peter so that he can courageously preach the gospel even when there's pressure and opposition. And for us here today who are believers, we too have this same Holy Spirit dwelling within each one of us. Like Peter, the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we could not do in our own strength. As a child growing up in the 90s, Space Jam was one of my favorite movies. You know, in Space Jam, Michael Jordan, he's the best and the most famous basketball player in the whole world, and he gets sucked into the world of the Looney Tunes, and he's got to help Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck and co. win a basketball game against the gigantic Monstars. And in the first half of the game, even with Michael Jordan on their team, the Toon Squad is getting smashed. The Monstars, they're totally dominating. And then it's halftime, and Jordan, he's trying to inspire the Looney Tunes to rally, make a comeback in the second half. But it's falling on deaf ears. He's having no luck. And while he's speaking, Bugs Bunny goes up and he fills this drink bottle up with ordinary tap water, and then he slaps on a label that says, Michael's Secret Stuff. And all the Looney Tunes, they gullibly believe that this is the magic formula that makes Michael Jordan a great basketball player. And they all drink up. They all drink the secret stuff. It gives them the confidence to go out in the second half and win the game. Well, friends, the Holy Spirit is our secret stuff. Not a gimmick like Michael's secret stuff, but the real empowering Spirit of God who changes us so that we can do more than we could do on our own, by our own strength. He empowers each one of us to be gospel proclaimers, to further the message that salvation is found in no other name, no one else besides Jesus. Now, having the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we always get it right. As we've seen in this series on Simon Peter, sometimes we take two steps forward and then one step back. You know, neither was Peter a finished product from this point on. He's living courageously, but he still at times takes steps forward. Other times he takes steps back as he walks and follows Jesus. But what the Holy Spirit does for, and he did for Peter, it's what he does for us also. It's enable us to take our next step in our journey of following Jesus. He lives with us and leads us, guides us and empowers us to pray, to live faithfully, and to share the joy of Jesus with those around us. And just as Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, so we're not trying to follow him in our own strength, similarly, he gives us one another. He calls us to belong to his people, his church, the community of believers. And so just as we expressed earlier when we dedicated Phoebe, let's be people who walk alongside one another and encourage one another to keep following Jesus. Together, let's be a community of people who want to change, who want to grow in maturity and become more and more like Jesus as we follow him each day. Segues us nicely to our third point. The early church was changed by prayer. The undeniable healing of the lame man meant that as much as the Sadducees wanted to silence Peter and John and stop them from preaching in the name of Jesus, ironically, they didn't have a leg to stand on. And so with further threats, they were forced to let them go. But after their release then, Peter and John, they return to the rest of the believers and they tell them everything that's happened over the past couple of days. And the response from the growing band of believers was to jointly raise their voices in prayer. Now, what could they have prayed for? Well, given the increasing hostility, the opposition from the religious leaders towards the gospel message, the early church could have asked God to fight for them, for him to clear a path for the gospel message, free of all barriers and stumbling blocks. Well, they also could have asked for God's protection, for his comfort, for help to endure what might be coming their way from this opposition. But notice what they do pray for. First, verse 24, if you're following along in your Bibles, they praise God's sovereignty. He is the creator who established the heavens and the earth. He is the one who is in control of all things. For even when earthly rulers like Herod and Pilate conspired against God and his Messiah, they were merely bringing into effect God's unstoppable salvation plan. And so they praise God for his sovereignty, and then the believers, they bring their own situation before him, confident that this too is also under his control. Their prayer continues in verse 29 with these words. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. The believers pray that the Lord would enable them to live courageously, to speak the gospel message boldly. In verse 13, back then, the courage of Peter and John was noted by those who saw them preach the gospel in enemy territory. They noticed how these unschooled, these ordinary fishermen were now courageously living out their calling as fishers of men and as shepherds of the flock. And so now the other believers, they've seen Peter and John's courage and they're asking God for this same courage. And we have this learning tower in our kitchen at home. We got it for our daughter Zoe a few years ago. So she could kind of get up to the level of the kitchen bench and, you know, enjoy and join in on family life there. And it's great. And that was until our son, Levi, learned how to climb up it. Now we have two kids who are able to use the one learning tower. So you better believe that any time one of them gets in there, the other one comes racing over and tries to get in there and get up it as quickly as possible and, you know, fights ensue. So now we're essentially at the point where we either need to have two learning towers or zero. Because as I'm sure you can all relate to, no one wants to be the one who misses out. If we see that someone else has something good, we want to know how we can have it too. That's what the early church is doing here. They've witnessed the courage of Peter and John and said, Lord, we want that same courage to speak your word boldly. For us sitting here today, do we have that same response to imitate the early church? To not just hear tales of God working powerfully in the world through other people, but to want that for our own lives as well. To pray as the early church did. Lord, enable me, enable us, your servants, to speak your word courageously. Because just like the early church, we too live in a time of opposition towards the gospel message. It does require boldness to share the gospel in our culture. It's not an easy thing to do. Telling people that salvation is found in nowhere else, no other name besides Jesus, is provocative. It always has been, and it always will be. But thankfully, we don't face that challenge alone. We have the Holy Spirit, God's secret stuff. He'll guide our words, bring them to bear on people's hearts. And so just as the early church did after hearing about the courage of Peter, I want to encourage us to pray for courage in sharing the gospel in our own lives and circumstances. In a moment, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to do just that, to put this into practice straight away. Because as we heard and saw in the final verse we read today, verse 31, God delights in hearing this prayer for boldness. He responds positively to it. We read that he poured out the Holy Spirit on the early church, and they were transformed, and they were empowered to speak the word of God boldly. We have a God who hears and delights in answering prayers for gospel boldness. And so take a minute now and bring yourself before him to pray, Lord, enable me to speak your word boldly. I'll give you a minute to do that before I conclude in prayer. Let's continue praying. Lord Jesus, we praise you because there is power in your name. There's no other name that brings salvation. We are overjoyed when we think about what you have saved us from and what you have saved us to. And so we thank you. We thank you that as we follow you, we do not do that in our own strength. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who leads us, guides us, helps us to live courageously for you. Lord, we pray that we would be courageous in speaking your word. We would be bold, and that people around us would know that there is no other name that they can find salvation in besides your name, your powerful name in which we pray. Amen.